Okay, so apparently Ian told a rare joke this morning. Is that the case? So I thought I'd take the opportunity to share another joke with you. It's actually my favourite joke, and Dad knows the punchline. It's about a man who went into a fish and chip shop. He knows it already. And he says to the lass behind the lass behind the bar says, yes, how can I help you? And she said, I'll have fish and chips twice. To which the girl said, that's all right, I heard you the first time. Well, they got it. It's a Tommy Cooper joke, if you don't know. I heard you the first time. And how many of you know that God hears us the first time we pray? God hears us the first time we pray. In fact, God hears us before we pray, which gives us some confidence as we come this evening to think again about healing, that God already knows our needs, whatever they are, God knows them, and he has already made provision for our needs. We don't have to beg him. We don't have to plead with him. We don't have to twist his arm. He has already on the cross achieved everything that's necessary for not only our salvation, but our healing. Do you think that's good news?
Yeah,
it is good news. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good news that Jesus on the cross has made it possible to have an eternal relationship with you that we can enjoy today. And we thank you that part of that gift of salvation includes healing for our minds, for our bodies, for our emotions, for our relationships, perhaps even for our finances. So, Lord, we come and we meditate on your word, because it's not wishful thinking, it's based on your word, Lord Jesus. We meditate on your word so that our faith might increase this evening to the honour and glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Want to look at this evening at Mark 5:25-26. It's the story about the lady with the issue of blood. And let me read part of it. Now, a woman was there who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. That's a long time, isn't it? She had endured a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. This is the reason why I like this passage, because it is so easy for us to identify with her plight. Okay, we might not have had a hemorrhage for 12 years, but all of us know people who have suffered for many years, and whatever they do, how many times they've been to the hospital or the doctors, and thank God for hospitals and doctors, but they don't get any better. And perhaps we've been living with situations in our own lives that don't seem to get any better. So it's easy for us to identify with this lady. She'd endured a great deal. She suffered for 12 years. Her plight was bad. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she kept saying, if only I touch his clothes, I will be healed. At once, the bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her diseases, of her disease. It's wonderful, isn't it? Gospel account of a lady who, having suffered for 12 years, now is free from that which had plagued her for 12 years. So what we want to look at is, how did she move from that position of being in pain, enduring suffering and hardship, to being in that position where now she is free and healed? And the clue is in this that's before you. How was her faith motivated? You look at the action words that there are in this verse on the screen, these two verses. She heard, number one. She came up behind him and touched his cloak. What else did she do? She kept saying. Those three things sort of motivated her faith or expressed her faith. And the two things are going together there. And I want to unpack this evening for you. She heard, she kept saying, and she came. And we just got a little visual for each of those as well. She heard, she kept saying, and she came. Because those three things will help us in our pursuit of healing in our minds, in our bodies, in our emotions, in our relationships. First of all, she heard. When she heard about Jesus. Now that's important for all of us because, as it says on the screen, faith comes through hearing. And you know that from Romans chapter 10. That we get to understand God and his ways and come to trust him because we hear about him. Do you know, there are three hindrances to people having faith in God. And the first one is, well, call it bluntly, ignorance. They just don't know that Jesus heals today. If you were with us last time we were here, I think in July, Jasmine told us the testimony of a girl called Dawn who said she just didn't know that she could pray for healing for her body. She'd been to church, but nobody had ever told her that she could pray for healing. Right? So, in a sense, her faith didn't have a chance, if you can put it like that, because she just didn't know. And here, our lady in the story, she got to hear about Jesus. Somebody, somewhere, had told her that this man, Jesus, heals the sick. And it doesn't matter how long you've suffered. It doesn't matter if you consider yourself unworthy. It doesn't matter if your sickness is caused by your sin. Jesus is willing to heal you. He said to the leper, "I am willing." And if Jesus says it to the leper, he says it to you and me, to the prince and the pauper. Wasn't that a beautiful song, eh? The prince and the pauper. He says, "I'm willing to heal you." The saint and the sinner. "I'm willing to heal you." Nothing prevents you from receiving from Jesus. There is no bar. He is standing with outstretched arms before you. Now, some people don't know that. Or perhaps they know it here, but it hasn't yet sunk here. Do you know what I mean? People are nodding at me when I say that. And that's another important thing about faith that we'll come on to in a moment. But she heard. And faith comes through hearing. And so if we want to develop our faith that God is willing to heal us, then reading the scriptures, and especially the gospel accounts of Jesus healing people, will be a great encouragement to you. Because the same way that Jesus dealt with the leper, with the blind man, with the deaf man, with the cripple, all these people, with the epileptic boy, same way that Jesus dealt with them, he wants to minister to you. So seeing yourself in those stories as you read the scriptures will be a great encouragement to your faith. Because it's the word of God. It's not just reading like reading an article in Reader's Digest or in the local newspaper. Because it's the word of God, Jesus describes the word of God, you remember, as a seed? And in that seed is all the potency for a tree and for fruit. Just in that little seed. Eh? Jesus says the word of God has got that same potency, that same power within it. Unlike the words we read in a newspaper, unlike the words we read in any magazine. The word of God itself has a potency, a power to accomplish it. We just need to plant that seed in us. And how do we plant that seed? By hearing it and by understanding it and letting it take root. Not just in our minds, but in our hearts. Faith comes through hearing. Faith, the author to the Hebrews says in chapter 11, is the assurance of things hoped for. There's a settledness about that word assurance, and a calmness about, I just know that God's going to heal people tonight. That's an assurance. It's a gentle assurance, but it's a confident assurance. Where does that assurance come from? It comes from God speaking to me through the scriptures, through the Holy Spirit, speaking to my mind, speaking to my heart. And this is what happened with this lady in the story. Somebody told her, and as a sideline, as Christians, isn't it good to tell people that Jesus loves them, that Jesus forgives them, that Jesus heals them? Because they might not know. And we can tell them something that they don't know that is going to transform their lives forever, for eternity. That's a sideline, but that's good, isn't it? So faith comes through hearing, that gentle assurance that faith comes through hearing. And then it says, she kept on saying. I like this particular version because it captures the tense of the original Greek, where it says she didn't just say, but she kept saying. It was something that she continued to do. She kept on saying, if only I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. So, what are we going to say? If you confess with your lips and believe with your heart. See, that's how you're saved, but it's also how you receive healing. It's not just believing in the heart, but it's expressing that faith too, because we believe and so we speak. That's in 2 Corinthians. I'll give you the reference later. But it says, we have the same spirit of faith as the psalmist did, who believed and spoke. And Paul says, we believe, therefore we speak. We say God's word over ourselves. Now let me just say something about saying confessions. Because we can say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. The Lord is my healer, the Lord is my healer, the Lord is my healer. Now what are we doing when we say that? What we're not doing is trying to convince God that we have got faith so that he can heal us. It's not that. We are not trying to convince God that we've got the faith so that he can heal us. It's not as though we've gone to the fairground and mustered up all our faith. And you know when one of those things where you, well, I've never done this, have you? Where you hit the thing and the thing goes up and tries to hit the bell. Do you know, what do they call those things? Do you know what I mean though, don't you? And the more strength you've got to pull down the mallet and hit the thing at the bottom so that the thing goes up and hits the bell, the better. You've hit the jackpot. Eh? Now some people have got the idea that faith works like that. If my faith is strong enough, I can say a prayer of faith and whoop! And it'll ding! And out will come the healing that God wants me to have. It doesn't work like that. And it's easy to, when you read people preach about healing, or when you read books about healing, or hear people preach about healing, it's easy to get the idea that we've got to have more faith, we've got to have more faith. I can remember my grandmother, Dad's mum, saying, oh, you've got to have a lot of faith for healing. That's what she used to say, you've got to have a lot of faith for healing. But it's not the amount of faith that you have, but who you have faith in. It's who you have faith in. And I found it helpful recently to change the word faith for trust. It's who you trust in. It's who you trust in. Where is your trust? My trust is in Jesus. And he settles my heart and gives me a confidence that all is well. that he's on my side, that he is the Lord my healer, he is the Lord my protector, he will look after me. But that comes from, can you see, a settled heart, a calm heart, rather than a, I believe, I've got to muster up more belief, I've got to muster up more faith, and, you know, if only I believed it enough, God will open the heavens and send down his healing upon me. It's not that. We're not trying to convince God by saying confessions. What we're doing is we're assuring our own heart. Because if faith comes through hearing, when we speak God's word, we hear it. Our own heart hears it. And our own heart can rejoice in it and be settled in it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's Psalm 103, isn't it? David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, who forgives all our sins, who heals all our diseases. But notice the first bit, bless the Lord, O my soul. In other words, David's talking to himself. Yes? He's talking to himself. Now, sometimes we think it's a bit funny when people talk to themselves. But, but you're right. No, it's not really. It's probably a good thing. Calm down. It's all right, Andrew. The Lord's in control. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Eh? Fret not yourself because of the wicked. Be still and know that I am God. So that when we confess the word of God, out of our faith comes words that go back into our ears, through our mind, and then actually encourage our heart. So that out of our heart comes words that go into our ears, into our minds, into our hearts, out of our hearts, into our ears, into our mind. Can you see what's happening? You've got a gracious cycle of God's word building up faith. Trust is the word. Trust within us that enables us to be in a settled position to receive what God is offering to us. It's not twisting his arm. It's not pleading with him. It's not begging him, because he's not reluctant to heal you. His arms are outstretched. In fact, it's closer than that, as we'll see in a moment. But hear now that really, when we speak God's word, when we say the spirit of, what was the law? The spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. When we say that, our hearts hear it and encouraged by it. And we can draw on the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, help me to believe this. Apply this word to my heart. I struggle something. I mean, it's good to be honest with the Lord. David was honest with the Lord. I struggle with this, perhaps. You know, let's take a random illustration. I struggle to think that God will provide for my finances. I know, I hear your word saying, I'm the Lord, your provider. But Lord, I struggle with that. Help me to take it to heart. Holy Spirit, help me to take that word to heart so that you're building up a confidence, a gentle assurance in your heart that makes it easy for you to receive what God is providing for you. Okay with that? Let's move on. Because that's an important part. And then she came. Because it says in James, doesn't it, that faith without works, and we could say corresponding action for that, because is what? Is dead. Now, when he says works, he doesn't mean good works. He means that, like this lady, she had faith that Jesus was going to heal her, so she did something about it. She went to Jesus. Okay? It's like saying that I believe. What bus takes you into Huddersfield from here?
Don't ask me.
Don't ask you, but ask this one. Eh?
308.
The 308, right. So I now know, I was ignorant of that, so I wouldn't have known how to have gotten into Huddersfield. All right. Now I know that the 308 takes me into Huddersfield. And because Joshua's told me, and he knows a thing or two about buses, I am confident that what he's told me is true. 308 will take me to Huddersfield. But what have I got to do to get to Huddersfield? Get on the bus, get on the bus, That is the corresponding action that, we're talking about. You're not just believing that the bus, I could believe with all my heart that the 308 takes me to Huddersfield, but unless I get on board, I'm not going to get there. I could walk, but you know what, you've got the point there. So faith without corresponding action is dead. Let's flip that around so that it's not a negative, and it's legitimate to do this, right? So let's flip it around. Faith with correspondent action is life. Is life. And that's what that lady found. That if only I touch is what she was saying to herself. She was propelling, encouraging herself that she wasn't going to be put off by the crowds. She wasn't going to be put off by what people thought about her. Because people would have known that she had this condition if she'd had it for 12 years. I mean, you know that your neighbours have been stuck inside and they've got the flu or they've got a bad back or whatever, don't you? People would have known about this lady. And of course, in that era, it was assumed that she was in that condition because she was a sinner. They put everything down to sin. So can you imagine this lady going in the midst of this crowd who gathered around Jesus, and there was Jairus, we didn't have this bit of the story, there was the Jairus, the church warden from the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue, the religious official who'd come to Jesus because his daughter was at the point of death. And this woman, who's presumed a sinner, comes in. She was a woman as well, of course, in that era. That meant that she was second to the man. What are people going to say? She was not going to be put off. She was not going to be deterred from claiming that which she believed Jesus had in store for her. Don't let people put you off from pursuing healing. Some well-meaning people, even some well-meaning Christians and preachers, will say stupid things like God doesn't always want to heal. Well, we covered that in the last sermon, when I spoke to you about that. It's always God's will to heal. Always. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Because if you think that God may not heal you, you won't have the confidence to pursue that healing. You won't have the assurance that he's willing to heal you. And it will make you hesitate from reaching out and receiving that which is on offer. So very important part of that. So Jesus says, daughter, notice that lovely phrase to this despised woman. Daughter, your faith has made you well. It wasn't gritting her teeth, saying, I believe, but it was a gentle, calm assurance within her that motivated her forwards towards Jesus and wasn't going to be deterred because of that confidence that she had within her. Okay, is that good? Let's look at Romans 4, 18 to 21, briefly to see how this also worked in Abraham. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. I think we would say, if we was writing that in present day English, in hope, Abraham believed against the odds. Against the odds. That he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. This is the occasion when God speaks to Abraham, who was married to Sarah, but they didn't have any children, and he was told that he was going to have descendants as many as the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach. You know? And what would you feel? So he hoped against hope. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. since he was about 100 years old. Who's heard of a man at 100 years old being able to father a child? No, I don't think it happens, not even then. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, he did not weaken in faith. This is important because sometimes when we look at ourselves and our condition, we're thinking this is too big. This is too big an ask. And then somehow logically we think to ourselves, well, actually God is God. He could do this. But it's a big one. Am I up to it? Hey? Abraham didn't look at his problems. He looked to the promise. And that's an important key. Yes, worth writing down if you're taking notes. He didn't look at the problems. He looked at the promise. You don't solve a problem by looking at a problem. You solve the problem by looking to the solution. In other words, looking to Jesus. Looking to the promise. But he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which is as good as dead. Humanly speaking, he had reason to doubt. Humanly speaking, it was near on impossible. But because God had said it to him, he trusted God. What happens next? No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. See, unbelief would make you waver concerning the promise of God. But he didn't have any unbelief. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. So here's a simple question for you, and it's on the last line on the screen, the answer. How can you grow strong in faith? Read it. By giving glory to God. What does it mean to give glory to God? It means to thank him. It means to praise him. It means to worship him. So that if it's the confession thing again, thank you, Lord, that you are my healer. Thank you, Lord, that you are my provider. You see, he's growing strong in his faith as he's declaring the goodness of the Lord. Yeah? Lord, you are good all the time. All the time? He is good, yeah. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced. There's that assurance that God was able to do what he had promised. He grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced. He probably wasn't certain, because that wouldn't be faith, but he was confident enough to give glory to God. The woman was confident enough to walk forwards to Jesus and to receive. He didn't have to muster up faith to hit with the mallet the thing so the thing shoots up. So I wonder what these things are called. And hit the bell so that it all comes out. He just had to be confident with God, trust in God's promise, and walk with him. That's a brilliant passage, isn't it? Oh, look, it's highlighted for us here. But actually, in the Greek, when it says Abraham didn't consider the barrenness of Sarah's womb, it's literally the deadness of Sarah's womb. So it's actually bleaker than the English translation points out. And it's significant because it also says he didn't consider his own body, which is as good as dead. So his body was as good as dead, and Sarah's womb was dead, but that wasn't a problem to Abraham. Because in the verse before, it told us Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence things that do not exist. So what's that telling us? There's nothing impossible for God. If God can do things for those who are dead, he can do things for those who are alive. He can do things for people who are nearly 100. He can do things for us if he can do things when parts of us are dead. Abraham believed God, who gives life to the dead. So instead of Abraham, you could put I in there, couldn't you? I believe God, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. Right? And as you know, here's a confession. As you say that, your ear is hearing it, your mind is hearing it, you're asking the Holy Spirit to apply it to your heart so that you can say it again with more confidence and hear it, your mind process it, your heart receive it. And so the faith is growing and growing and growing. One final, Hebrews 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Let's move on. Time is running out. So Jesus said this, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now that doesn't say, muster up enough faith, and it will happen. Believe it although it doesn't look as though it's happened. It's not saying that. It's saying, believe it, because you have received it. Now, if you were here last time, you might have a clue. How can that be that you've already received it? How have you already received health and healing and wholeness? How can that be the case? Well, the key word is you've already received it. And in 2 Peter 1, 3, it says his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Does it say he is going to give us it? What does it say? He has. Is that something that's going to happen in the future? Is it something that's already happened? Yeah, he has already done it. And we've got exactly the same in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. There it is again. Has, not will, but he's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Therefore, we are complete in him, or fulfilled in him. It used to be, didn't it, when you went out, if you were in polite society, and they said to you, have you had enough to eat? Your answer would be, yes, thank you, I'm complete. Eh? Which means that I'm full up. We might say we're stuffed to the gills, but it means I'm fulfilled. I am complete. That's how it is using it. So where is all this going on? We had three people out last time to look at this. We've got a spirit, which when we invited Jesus into our lives, he made alive, and we have a soul, and we have a body. But the fullness of God and every blessing lives in our spirit. Yes? He's already there. Because when we have said, come into my life, Lord Jesus, at conversion, what's actually happening? What is actually happening at the point of conversion? The Holy Spirit of Jesus comes into our spirit and lives there forever. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is what Paul says. John Wesley says that's the best thing of all that could happen to somebody, that Christ lives in you. Christ living in you. And that's the distinction between a Christian and a non-Christian. A non-Christian does not have Christ living in them by the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, you do have the Holy Spirit in all his fullness living inside of you. In all his love, in all his power, in all his health, already living in your spirit. So God's not far away. You don't have to say, rend the heavens and come down. You don't even have to say, come, Lord Jesus, because he's already here. He's already living in you. Never will I leave you or forsake you, it says in Hebrews 13. He is in you. Now, you remember earlier on we said that there were things that hindered people's faith, and the first one was ignorance. Some Christians don't know that Christ lives in them in all his fullness. Some Christians don't know that. The other thing that affects faith is faulty teaching. Some people have been taught that if you sin, the Holy Spirit leaves you. That is not true. Never will I leave you or forsake you. Doesn't say that. He will leave you when you sin. You don't have to be born again. Never will he leave you. So that's faulty teaching. But there's another thing that comes against Christians, and that is our experiences. Our experiences sometimes tell us that it doesn't feel as though Jesus is living inside of us. And if we're honest, we all have days like that. Sometimes we have weeks and months like that when it doesn't feel as though Jesus is living inside of us. And yet, is he? Yes, he is. It doesn't feel to me like the end of October, but is it? Yes. Feelings, in a sense, don't dictate the truth. The Word of God dictates the truth to us, but there are things that come against it. Let's just move through those. We'll do this another day. Let's look at that one. So we've got a spirit, a soul, and a body. Can you see that? And our soul is made up of our mind, will, conscience, of emotions. Now, in the spirit, then, is all the fullness of God, all of his health and healing, and it's his desire that health and healing comes from our spirit into our body, right? But what's in the way, or what's against it? First of all, there are things in the natural physical world that are against it. You think about that woman with the issue of blood. She could have said, heard about Jesus, but thought, I've suffered for 12 years. I haven't any money. I'm a poor old soul. I'm in agony. I could never get to Jesus. And there are times that we're in pain, be it a headache or anxiety or whatever. And we think, where's Jesus now? Where's that healing now? Can you see what's happening is that our circumstances are speaking to us, sometimes louder than the Word of God. And it's understandable, because if you've been sick for a long time, you feel every move. You feel the pain. Sometimes you can smell the pain. Sometimes you can see the abscess and the bleeding, and it's speaking to you. It's telling you that Jesus doesn't really care. It's telling you that Jesus doesn't really want to heal you. But that is where you've got to be quietly confident in your soul that he does, because all of these things come against us. And even well-meaning Christians will say, well, sometimes God's teaching you a lesson, sometimes you've got to pay for it. And all the time these things, but the Spirit of God wants to pour out his healing, and it comes through our soul, but often it does that tangled web, because it's going for our mind, it's going for our conscience, it's going for our emotions, it's going for our will before we get to our bodies. That is why it's so important that we speak peace to our souls, that we settle our souls, our hearts, that they are assured that God's word is greater than all the things that are speaking against us. God's word is like the trump card. Eh? We played, you know what I mean by that. We played a game of spades with our son in Stirling the other week. And if you had a spade in your pack, that was the trump card. And if you didn't have, somebody puts down a diamond and you didn't have a diamond, you didn't say, oh dear, that's me out of the game. You've got the ace of spades. You put the ace of spades down and what? You win. Now that's what it's like with God's word. You may not have everything in place. You may be suffering, you may be losing the game, but if you've got that trump card, you win. And you have that trump card, brothers and sisters. You have the Word of God, and you have the Holy Spirit of Jesus living inside of you with all his life and health and power and love ready to be released into your body as you believe it. Amen? So Jasmine and I are going to offer prayer for you now. And we're going to sing, we're all going to stand and sing, "Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is Here." And if you'd like to receive prayer for yourself or a friend in need, don't hesitate to come forward like that woman in the crowd and receive everything that Jesus has for you, being assured that it is his good will and pleasure to meet you in your need. Father, we thank you so much for sending Jesus. We thank you so much for your word that gives courage to our hearts, that you are good, that you forgive us, you love us, and you heal us. Thank you for giving us the fullness of life within us. We pray that fullness of life be released through our souls and through our bodies this evening, to the honour and glory of your name. Amen.